as this year comes to a close, we want to take a look back at one of the best performers of any year, Carol Burnett. Carol Burnett's Tarzan was a hallmark of her 1970s sketch comedy show. Last month, a new generation of viewers was introduced to Carol Burnett when she guest starred on the hit Fox TV show Glee as the Nazi-hunting mother of the often villainous Sue Sylvester, who planned on marrying herself.
Susie, I have to ask you, what is it with this ridiculous wedding? Have you given up on love?
No, Mother, quite the opposite.
I mean, when you were little, the other mothers used to tell me that you'd never find anybody, but I said, no, 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 no. She's a perfectly okay child. She'll grow into her looks. And you know what? I believe you still might.
We spoke to Carol Burnett earlier this year when her memoirs, This Time Together, Laughter and Reflection, were released. An audio version just came out this month. When we spoke to Carol, she told us that when she goes on tour, she still takes questions from the audience, just like she did during her old TV show. And one of the strangest questions she ever got was at a recent show in Texas.
This lady in the balcony raised her hand and she said, Carol, if you could be a member of the opposite sex for 24 hours and then pop back into being yourself again, who would you be and what would you do? Well, you know, I said, what in the world? And I swear, Robin, I said a little prayer real fast. Okay, God, I don't know what's going to come out, but I'm just going to open my mouth and whatever comes out is your fault. And I said, I'd be Osama bin Laden, and I'd kill myself.
You know, a serious topic, and you know, you know. But wow, that was quick. And you know, and in telling the story, I think I just heard Eunice surface. Did I?
Oh, yeah. Well, the lady in the balcony, because that was kind of the Texas accent that I always used as Eunice. Loved doing her, and Vicky doing Mama right. Was phenomenal.
You are really nuts. You know it. These days they're gonna come over here and just lock you up. You lay off of me. You are playing with full deck, Eunice.
Well, in your autobiography, your previous book, we learned about your alcoholic but beloved parents, the grandma mm-hmm. who raised you, and you know, the one you pull your earlobe for even to this day. But some of us also learned for the first time that a benefactor gave you $1,000 to go to New York to try to make it big way back when.
Right.
And I feel like that, you know, learning more about this, you know, wide-eyed girl who comes to New York, I feel like then we see her in your later characters. I'm thinking of the story you tell where you go into a restaurant. Oh, it's that wonderful Rumpelmeyer's
yes.
in New York. Very fancy dessert restaurant. And you go in with some friends. I mean, this is where, you know, you've got a little spare change in your pocket. And the woman just starts to turn you away because you have pants on.
Screaming at me. I had on slacks. And she said, what do you kids think you're doing here coming into Rumpelmeyer's wearing slacks? I mean, she was really rude. And I had seen Marlene Dietrich in there at one time at lunch in slacks having a soda. And I thought, well, that's not right. And I said, I'm so sorry, but I have a wooden leg. I can't wear skirts yet. Well, I'm telling you, all of the patrons in the restaurant, they all but went boo to her.
and you dragged your leg.
And she led us across the room to a little table in the back, and I was just kind of limping with my leg and sat straight-legged, and I had a wonderful ice cream sundae.
So a lot of this physical comedy that we saw in your show, you actually were like that in real life.
I guess so, Robin.
I just want to give people a taste of early Carol Burnett. We'll have two things in a row here. The first, your first big Broadway show, Once Upon a Mattress.
Actually, my full name is Winifred the Woebegone, but Winifred's a little too formal. You can call me by my nickname.
Winnie?
Fred.
Also, this is your life, Carol Burnett. At the same time, you were also performing on Gary Moore's show. We have a little sound from that.
Well, Honeykins, don't you remember me? I'm your husband.
Why, it is you, Big Daddy. What brings you out to the bright light?
It's the baby, baby. She's crying for them all.
And you also were on Password. I want to try.
I don't think I can tell this story.
Well, let's try carefully.
There's no way to say it.
Well, I was going to rhyme things because you had to guess a word. The word in this case was tweet, But the man playing with you thought that there might be a past tense of tweet, and it's a word that rhymes with what?
Squat.
That's good. And he said this word, which is a very vulgar word, and it was live.
It was live.
What did you do?
I just stared at him. And the audience was laughing. It was mayhem. Absolute mayhem. And then finally, you know, the buzz. And blessedly, that was over.
And the show was never live again.
That's true.
The Carol Burnett Show, of course, a huge success. We have to play some of the classic scenes. Here's Went with the Wind, where you spoofed the scene in Gone with the Wind. Scarlett meets Rhett wearing a dress. She's made from old curtains. In this case, the curtain rod still in your shoulders. Let's listen.
Scarlett, I love you. The gown is gorgeous.
Thank you. I saw it in the window and I just couldn't resist it.
Carol Burnett, how does it feel to be the centerpiece of the funniest moment in television ever?
Robin, that came through Bob Mackie's genius, our costume designer.
Well, the dentist scene with Corman and Conway. And Tim Conway is the young dentist who cannot, he keeps sticking himself with the Novocaine.
Let's see how this works here. Okay, Novocaine. Here we are, Novocaine. Take a firm hold of the hypodermic needle. Right.
I think that's one of the funniest sketches that was ever, ever done on television, and it should be in a time capsule.
Yeah. And, you know, not all laughs, of course, a life, a full life. And it included two divorces and then the death of your daughter.
That's right. And I always feel her presence with me. She was quite a force and a little angel on my shoulder all the time.
What do you think your impact has been on younger women? We were thinking, could anybody as pure and open as Carol Burnett come out of this sort of internet age where we're all sort of more cynical? And then I thought, well, yeah, Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah, absolutely. I think my attitude was nurtured by seeing so many movies in the 1940s, you know, where there was nothing cynical about anything. The bad guys got it. The good guys won. Everything was hopeful. So when I came to New York on my own, not knowing what in the world I was doing, I'd never been any further east in Texas, but I never thought that good things wouldn't happen. In those days, it was like, yeah, let's go try, let's do it. And I never took anything personally when I didn't get the job. What I always thought was, well, it's not my turn, that's her turn. My turn will come.
Why, oh, why? Why, oh, why did I ever leave Ohio? Why did I wander to find what lies yonder when life was so cozy at home?
Carol Burnett singing recently on Glee. Our interview first aired back in April when her book, This Time Together, Laughter and Reflection, first came out. To read an excerpt and hear the story of Carol Burnett's first embarrassing encounter with Jimmy Stewart, go to hereandnow.org. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Happy New Year, and please join us here and now.
Maybe I'd better go.